This episode of Gators Breakdown is brought to you by MyBookie. Go bet with MyBookie. Sign up at MyBookie.ag and use promo code Gators, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Bet with MyBookie.
Gators Breakdown. The Gators Fan Podcast. Because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown Podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters, and you can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. And what a day, what a game. That was a whole lot of fun, Gator fans. That's what we've been waiting on. That's what we've been waiting on in the swamp. That's the kind of home game we wanted. Number five LSU rolls into town. Florida wins 27-19. Dominating defense, opportunistic offense, great play calling by the offense when it really needed to be needed, great execution by the offense when it really needed to be needed. But it was that defense confusing Joe Burrow all game long, keeping the pressure up. Not a lot of big plays besides a couple of drives. This was what we were waiting on. Dan Mullen comes year one, beats the top five LSU team, two big back-to-back wins now. And these Gators are rolling. It's an exciting time for the Gator Nation right now. And just what a day it was from the tailgating scene at the Harmonic Woods tailgates with my guys there. My dad went down with me. It's his first time at that tailgate, so we had a lot of fun. Had some friends join in. I haven't seen them in a while, Rob and Lewis. So, I'm glad those guys got to hang out with me. All the fans of Gators Breakdown that I got to meet throughout the day, heading to the stadium, in the stadium, after the game. A whole lot of fun. And during the game, of course, what more could we ask for? It was two heavyweights going at it. And that's the kind of game that we got there. And Tebow getting in the Ring of Honor, the 08 national team being, 08 national championship team being honored. Everything culminated. Everything came together for an exciting afternoon. And the Gators win and beat number five LSU 27-19. And this episode right after the game is kind of the reaction episode. You can hear it in my voice, guys. I'm a little hoarse here, a little bit of a sore throat from all the hollering. So, it was great to go in that stadium and be a fan for a day. And what a game to be a fan for. I just can't speak enough for the atmosphere and everything that went on in that game. But before we break it down here, remember, you can find Gators Breakdown on newsforjax.com/GatorsBreakdown. There you'll find all the Gators Breakdowns episodes as well as articles from the News 4 Jax sports team. That's newsforjax.com/GatorsBreakdown. Catch Gators Breakdown on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and now on Spotify. When using those services, please share, rate, and review the show. Let Gator Nation know what they're getting with Gators Breakdown. And on social media, follow Gators Breakdown on Twitter and Facebook at Gators Breakdown. So as I mentioned, this was a heavyweight fight between two teams with some great defenses. It was going to be tough for these offenses, and I gained respect for both of the way these quarterbacks battled in this game versus these pressuring defenses. But what a way for the Gators to get this win over LSU. There was response after response just when it felt like LSU could take over the game in multiple places in this game. LSU came out and scored a touchdown in the opening drive, but the Gators didn't flinch. And it tied the game in the second quarter with a Piran touchdown. Gators were once again down 10-7 right before halftime and then responded with a seven-play, 75-yard drive as Morrill Stevens catches another touchdown pass for the second straight week. Then the Gators led at halftime, feeling pretty good, 14-10. And then later, after LSU's Nick Brissett gashes the Gators' defense on a four-play, 80-yard drive to take the lead for LSU 19-14, the Gators come back, put together the most important drive of the game to take the lead and keep it. A nine-play, 75-yard drive that took 2 minutes and 26 seconds that had everything to get it done. A throw it up and catch to Van Jefferson. Go win a one-on-one. Go win a battle against some defensive backs. That's what Van Jefferson did there. P. Ryan with a chunk run play, and then the creative crawl to Frank's throwback to set up the go-ahead touchdown, 2019 Gators right there. The swamp was nuts. Dan Mullen hopping the crowd after on. At a point during the game, you could just see how animated he was on the sideline, how happy he was to get Gator Nation behind him and the players, and Gator Nation behind each other as well. And from there on, the Gators defense took over. LSU had 50 yards the last 8 minutes and 48 seconds of the game. 15 of those were a pass interference on the Gators. So 35 yards for LSU in the last 8:48 that they had to earn non-penalized there. Forced Burrow to make his first two picks of the season, one return for a touchdown. There were plenty of times the Gators could have folded, but they hung in there. And Dan Mullen had to say after the game, quote, "They came out and battled today. You look at today's game, and we did a lot of things that we got to improve on, whether it's not taking advantage of field position like we had been in the first half, whether it's mistakes where all of a sudden, as soon as we get some momentum, we're jumping offsides or snapping balls over heads or missing blocks and protection. Defensively, I thought we played great all night, and we just give up this drive where they just run the ball down our throat. We're in there. We're battling. We have the lead. We get punched right in the face, and we don't flinch. And that's something that's huge for this team. That's a lot of credit to Nick Savage with what he's done for the team, how they believe in each other, how they fight, how they're going to continue to work to be good. There was nobody who flinched on that sideline. Anything that went on, kept doing what we needed to do to make plays to go win the game." And there we go. Exactly. Coming from the head coach himself, I think we could all notice it. The Gators just were not out of this game. And they kept fighting back, And that's the theme in this game. There were plenty of times they could have folded. And I'll get into a lot of your tweets later on, where you guys kind of noticed the same thing. No, but what a nice win, a nice statement win for Dan Mullen and the Gators to beat a top five team there. And, just being able to keep coming back, staying in the game and not panicking and being able to just keep going. And, something that we would not have seen in the past. So, we'll start with some players here. And, we'll start with the quarterback, of course, Felipe Franks. Had an okay game, but kind of pretty much the kind of game I kind of expected. Going against a defense as good as LSU, overall numbers weren't great. 12 of 27, 161 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Some of those were throwaways under pressure. Receivers weren't open a whole lot early on in the game, and he was getting pressured. He didn't. He started the game 1 of 6 for 6 yards. He was under a ton of pressure early. He was never sacked in this game. He'll give the offensive line a little bit of credit there, but he was under a lot of pressure early on versus this LSU defense. And Mullen mentioned it in the presser too. Didn't have a lot of good things to say about the offensive line because you could just kind of see some of the missed blocks and stuff that really caused Franks to get some pressure on. But good for them battling through it like Mullen mentioned in the press game, and good for Franks too to also keep trusting those guys there to go make some things happen and just keep battling their way through it. Franks turned it around though to finish 11 of 21. Franks completed 5 of his final 6 passes in the first half for 64 yards and a touchdown. He was 4 of 4 for 56 yards on Florida's 10-play, 63-yard touchdown drive late in the second quarter. He wasn't great the entire game, of course, but he was great when he needed to be, except for the one play, the one interception in the red zone. It was just the second time this season the Gators failed to score in the red zone. He threw it in the middle of the field with wide receivers covered. Pressure was coming to his face. It was an easy interception for LSU, but much like the team, Felipe Franks hung tough the rest of the game. What some throws to Josh Hammond. This is a game where another Florida wide receiver had a great game. And it seems like every week we can point to a wide receiver who's having some type of positive outcome on the game. And I look at it as Gators, Van Jefferson is the number one receiver, but they may not have what you would look at as a traditional number one receiver. But it's kind of helping Florida right now. His defenses can't really just go key on one guy. You don't know which receiver is going to have that game like Hammond had against LSU. We've seen it with Swain. We've seen it with Jefferson. We've seen it with Grimes so far this year. And it's just, it seems like it's a different receiver that's showing up. So Hammond, when you have 3 catches, 85 yards there, along of 49, went a long way into getting this victory there. So, wrapping up with Franks, all in all, given the circumstances of playing against this LSU defense and the pressure he was on early, and I don't want to try and make too many excuses. You guys listened to this podcast long enough. I'm not going to hide my thoughts here. But, given the circumstances, first-year offense still learning, going against that type of defense, you know, when the plays needed to be made, he was there making those plays. So good play calling helped him. I still love these, I'll go into it, kind of shifting to the next topic here, these little option plays with LaMichael Perine. I mean, go have yourself a game, LaMichael Perine. I mean, this little speed option play that we've seen the last couple of weeks has really helped neutralize that Mississippi State aggressive front, this LSU aggressive defense. And the Gators get numbers on one side, and Frank Perine run that little speed option. And you know, Perine really excelled in this play the last couple of weeks here. So Perine, 17 attempts, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. So go back, guys. I mean, look, Perine has 4 touchdowns in the last 2 games versus LSU. So, you know, so far this season, he's just been that really steady back. You kind of know what you're getting in LaMichael Perine right now, and it's a good running back. He's steady. You know what you're going to get. He's always moving forward there. He doesn't take a lot of runs for losses here, and it's a really steady, good running back. So there was some good, tough running by Jordan Scarlett, especially when it was needed late in the game. Tony also had 25 yards on the ground on 4 carries. So, you know, one more important play on the ground was the 3rd and 7, down 19-14. And France gets 12 yards on a quarterback draw there on 3rd and 7. So perfect play call in that scenario. Picks up 12 yards from Franks. And, you know, with his yards on the ground, Franks had 203 total yards on this LSU defense. And it didn't seem like it, but this Florida offense also over 200 yards rushing on this LSU defense. And I mean, I tell you, it's, you know, we know in a Dan Mullen offense, if you're going to get over 200 yards rushing, you're going to have a good chance to win most of these ball games, especially now with the way the defense is playing and they're going to keep these games close. You get over 200 yards rushing in a Dan Mullen offense, and you're going to be in every game, you know, if they play out this way. Well, you know, we'll move to the other side of the ball and this Gator defense. And wow, I mean, that's all we can say with the performances that we're getting from this defense since that Kentucky game. I mean, it looked like the LSU's offense was finding its way coming into this game. They threw the first punch on the opening drive, but it was all Gators defense after that. The pressure this defense causes punishes quarterbacks. They're so fast, they're so aggressive, and you could see it in the stat line. 5 sacks on Joe Burrow, 11 tackles for loss in this game, causing 3 turnovers when LSU had 3 coming in all season, causing Burrow to throw his first 2 interceptions of the season. The pressure got to him, and something he hadn't seen all season, especially up to this point here. So this Gators defense is getting pressure 40% of the time on quarterback dropbacks, 40% of the time. So you know, you had Ja'Kai Polite forcing the early fumble on Burrow. And Polite, I'm telling you, he's a big weapon so far for the Gators here. Entered Saturday, they had the early fumble on Burrow, and he entered Saturday in a 7-way tie for the FBS lead with 3 forced fumbles. Notched his 4th forced fumble of the season with his sack and forced fumble in LSU's 2nd drive. But it was also Vashawn Joseph, who was a wild man out there. He was everywhere. 2 sacks, 3.5 tackles for loss, led the team with 14 tackles. You know, what a transformation for him. And he's putting it together as the season goes on. He posted the first multi-sack game of his career, and he did it in the first 20-plus minutes of the game. Joseph entered the game with 3 tackles for loss this year, had 3 in the first 20-plus minutes of the game. Also set career highs for tackles with 14 and tackles for loss with 3.5. So go have yourself a game too, Vashawn Joseph. Way to turn it around there. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson led the team in tackles with 30 coming into this game. He, well, you know, add 11 more to that. What a difference from a year ago from him as well. No longer a liability in tackling, working on his craft, and it's showing. 11 tackles. 1.5 tackles for a loss. David Reese also added 11 tackles, and Donovan Steiner with 9 tackles as well. And speaking of Steiner, we'll call him the closer on defense. And then the last 2 games, he's made game-sealing play on defense. Last week versus Mississippi State to get that sack of Nick Fitzgerald, and then also the interception to end this game. I mean, what more can you say about that kid too? Coming along nicely there, and last 2 weeks when his number's been called late in the game, big sack, and now game sealing interception against LSU. So the Gators' last two opponents, Mississippi State and LSU, have combined to convert just 6 of 29 third downs. 6 of 29 for these last two opponents for the Gators, converting on third downs. With the 5 sacks versus LSU, the Gators' defense has 5+ sacks in 3 games this season. That's matching the 1999, 2001, 2005, 2006, 2015, and 2016 Gators for the most such games in one campaign since the start of the 98 season. So good company there with those defenses. With 11 tackles for loss versus LSU, Florida now has 5 games with 8+ tackles for loss this year, tying the 2012 and 2014 Gators for the second most such games in a season since the start of 2012. So some really, really good defenses that this defense is starting to be compared to in some key stats here. Tackles for loss, sacks. You're really pressuring these offenses to have to make plays. And tell you what, yeah, Gators 11 sacks the last 2 games. Unreal the amount of pressure the Gators have been able to bring and force against two of the better teams on the schedule. And all that pressure forced Joe Burrow to throw his first 2 interceptions of the season. The first one by Brad Stewart that was returned for a touchdown. And I was just waiting on it. It was going to happen. There was no way under that pressure that it was not going to happen. You're 6 games into the season, he's probably due for an interception anyway. But you know, it kept going. And when the Gators really needed it, that's when it happened. Fourth quarter, the LSU needs to go score. They got some pressure on them. Florida knows the pass is coming, so they can really pin their ears back on that defensive line. And pressure forces the pressure all day forces Joe Burrow to throw his first 2 interceptions of the season and help lead the Gators to get that victory here. And also, shout out to the special teams. Shout out to McPherson and Townsend. No field goals for McPherson, but this was a close game. And go back and remember last season when Pinheiro missed an extra point and the Gators lost that game by 1 point. So not to be overlooked is hitting those extra points. And also, Tommy Townsend, 70-yard punt in the third quarter, tied the 7th-longest punt in school history. And then maybe one of the bigger plays of the game here, Townsend also had a 61-yard punt to pin LSU on his own 12-yard line with 2:21 remaining in the game, forcing LSU in bad field position and then the eventual pick 6 there. So, you know, good special teams, another game where they showed up in a different form here. And a lot of, you know, just doing a lot of the small things. You hit a booming punt, you make all your extra points. And in a close game, those are some differences there. Those are some differences in a close, contested battle. So, guys, I'll get to your tweets here next. But remember, let's get to you want to bet? Let's do some my bookie. And, you know, sure, watching football is fun, but it's more entertaining when you have some action on the games. Guys, you've heard me talk about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the sidelines. So whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting with MyBookie. If you like to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big parlay. Pick 3 teams to win, and if you hit all 3, you could turn $100 into $600. There is so much to bet on right now at MyBookie.ag. Playoff baseball, hockey, primetime fights, and more. But MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. I recommend these guys because I really trust them. I use them. My friends use them. And MyBookie has been in business for years. They have great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. If you're on the sidelines, now is the time to get in the game. MyBookie will still match your first deposit dollar for dollar, but you got to join now because they'll be pulling that offer pretty soon. So log on to MyBookie.ag right now and double your money. Use promo code Gators and you'll get your first deposit match 100%. And that's promo code Gators. You play, you win, you get paid at my bookie. So yeah, a lot of you know, every post game episode we do here, I ask for your guys' thoughts and tweets, and of course We got a ton. So I'll go through a few here, get your guys' thoughts, and kind of talk about what we saw as the Gators get a big victory against LSU. So here, let me get to them. C3 says, Heggie makes the offensive line actually look good. His replacement of Fred Johnson elevated the overall play. He was de-cleaning defenders time after time. Adds toughness and grit, and you see him out there with a club on his hand too. So you're talking about toughness, talking about grit, and after last week, the first half of the Mississippi State game, saw Fred Johnson, with those false starts. And if Eggie's healthy, he is going to be one of the better offensive linemen out there on the field. So good for him to be able to go get some more playing time. And Florida's creating a little bit of depth there at this offensive line. And maybe 6-7, maybe 8 deep, but probably only 6-7 deep right now. But with Heggie and Jordan and Ivy, those guys right now, and Taylor and Buchanan, I mean, they're not the liability that they could be this season. Coaching's helping them out. Play calling's helping them out. Franks is helping them out with some calls sometimes as well. So good for those guys to not be the biggest liability on the field, time and time again. I still think it may be the weakest link on this offense, but they're finding ways to get it done, and this coaching staff is finding a way to coach around it right now. And hopefully, as this year goes on, and you've got a bye week coming up out of this Vanderbilt game, you get some things kind of figured out there to set up a big run later on in the season. Now here, Daniel Kennan says, it's interesting how some coaches can get it going in year one and some it takes 2 to 3. Mullen is an elite coach and the almighty Gators have a very bright future. And a lot of Gator fans feel that way, especially after seeing Dan Mullen on that sideline, waving his hands, raising his hands up, trying to get the, not trying to get the crowd was into it, but you feed off the coach a little bit more. So the decibel level might have been at a 9 there, and then all of a sudden it's at a 10 when your head coach is out there, jumping up and down and having some fun, and trying to also make the Swamp one of the hardest places to play. And it takes a whole team effort. It takes the fans, it takes the coaches, it takes the players, and we saw it. They were having some fun, and credit to Dan Mullen. Also, there's more to it than just that. And calling some great plays and calling, we've seen some little wrinkles. Tony's getting the ball a little bit more. We've seen these trick plays the last couple of weeks. We've seen this speed option play that, whilst these guys are learning the offense, you can start inserting some more of these things like this. And it's really making some difference in some close games the last couple of weeks. And, good for Dan Mullen to be able to come in here in year one and make Gator Nation believe right now. So, let's keep it going. But he's made it fun and a lot of fun so far. Mike Honcho says that they took the opening drive haymaker that LSU threw and didn't even blink. All of the times in teams the last few years would have given up and lost. They kept punching back and won. Credit to everyone all around. Love to beat LSU. Go Gators. And that's going to lead me to one of the quotes Dan Mullen had after the presser and after the game in his press conference. And I was listening to that on the way home, and this one really stuck out here. And I kind of like the analogy that he uses. So, quote, certainly a little bit of the mental toughness things we do and continuing to grow. The physical toughness is going to come every day at practice, every day working and straining and getting tougher and getting harder. Just a little bit more finish, a little bit more technique. And I think it's straining in the technique to finish things, blocks, and to get off blocks, run to the ball, making tackles, playing as fast as heck. But mental toughness, certainly. When you come and you're at home, we always talk about holding the rope. All of a sudden, in the third and fourth quarter, that rope starts slipping through your hands and it's burning. You ever hold rope and it's starting to rip out of your hands and it's burning your hands? Most people, it starts burning your hands. You're going to let go of that rope. We don't let go of that rope. Even though it was slipping, we held on. Eventually, we stopped the slide, started yanking and pulling it back in, and we're able to win that tug of war there at the end. So, good analogy there about Bob Mullen and talking about, pulling the rope, kind of tug of war there. And that's what this game was. There were so many times the Gators could have let go. So many times they could have just caved in. And they just kept going, kept fighting. And that's all we've asked for this team coming, you know, before this year, before the coaching changes and all that stuff. We wanted to see a coach that cared, a team that cared, and you didn't get that. And we just kind of knew, you get the right guy in here, things are going to start turning around, maybe a little faster than what we expected. But we did know that was kind of the magic formula here. You know, the talent level is okay at Florida right now. Is it elite? Nope, not many teams are out there, but this team has enough talent to get things going. You get the right coach, you get the right staff, you get the right mindset, and this thing's going to take off. So, you know, a lot of good points there by Honcho, and then go into that quote from Dan Mullen. Aaron Hodges says, what the coaches have done with this team is outstanding. They actually put the players in position to make plays to their strengths. Didn't expect them to get this much done this early in the Mullen tenure. And yeah, I kind of go back to that, putting players in positions to make plays. And that's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what we're getting. And you know, we go back and what are some things Franks can do well? And they're finding things out here. And like I said, we wanted to see him use his legs more. Is he an elite runner? Is he a big time runner? No, but he's dangerous enough with his legs to make things happen there. So we've seen these option plays. We saw the quarterback draw. We've seen him escape his own pressure given up by the offensive line, or just, you know, too many guys blitzing or whatever. Whenever the defense brings some pressure, Franks can escape it and go get some tough yards. And we've seen that this year. So, you know, the coaches are putting him in position to make play. You can move to the other side of the ball and with this defense, and you've seen what Ja'Kai Polite can do off the edge. We see Chauncey Gardner-Johnson flying around everywhere in the backfield. Of course, Vasan Joseph as well, once David Reese came back, now playing in a position that more where he can fly around and not have to, you know, play so much in the middle of the defense and go get out of his gap and all that good stuff or bad stuff. And, you know, they're finding ways to fit these guys. And this defense may be a little undersized, but they are super fast. They're super quick. They're super aggressive. And they're really putting them in position to take advantage of what those guys bring to the table here. Kavern Harris says, this is a seminal moment in the trajectory of our program. Huge. And you know what? This could be. We go back and look at it. You know, this is the biggest win. It's the first top five win. First opponent top five win the Gators have had since they beat Ole Miss in 2015. And we thought that was going to be a spark in the Jim McElwain era there. You know, a few more things come into play there, of course, after that for the fall of Jim McElwain and the Gators. But yeah, this could be that spark. You had all the recruits in town, and they got to see this atmosphere, and it also excited the fan base that was there. You know, I went into this game, and if you listen to the podcast last week, I said, and this was going to be a game where you could bring back the Swamp, where you could bring back the Gator Nation crowd, and being, you know, so supportive of this team. It was time to bring back the Swamp, and it was going to take a huge, big time win at home. It's been a while since we've been able to walk out of that stadium singing it's great to be a Florida Gator at the top of our lungs after a huge big victory and feeling so good about a game like that. So yeah, this could be the moment we go back and look and say that's when it all came together and it took off, and I kind of expect that to be the case here. So let's see if there's a couple more tweets here. Jared Swain, fans can say what they want to about Felipe Franks, but that kid has grown up this year. He got beat up, still hung in there, and then last year he would have folded. Franks is becoming a warrior. Yeah, I mean, I went through, you know, there are times, you know, there are things that he's got to get better on. Dan Mullen would admit it, he would admit it. But I mean, he's getting the job done when he needs to. And I think that's all we can ask right now. It's not going to be perfect in this scenario. Going against that defense, still learning an offense, first year of an offense. Franks, you know, Franks needs some work, and they're working through it right now. So, you know, hopefully he can continue to progress and all those good things. But, you know, he's doing enough right now. And that interception, you know, in the red zone, so it wasn't a, you know, you get that touchdown there. Now, I'm telling you, Florida could run away with the game, because then you start, LSU has to start pressing a little bit more, has to start passing the ball a little bit more. And we saw toward the end of the game what can happen when, you know, you have to when they had to pass and this Gator defense knew it. So, you know, there was a chance there. You score right there, you know, and LSU starts pressing, then you never know what kind of happens after that. But, you know, you had really like Florida's chances there. But, you know, still, you know, in the end zone, you know, you would have loved to score there. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't, you know, an interception deep in your own territory, and it sets up LSU in a good field position or anything like that. So, you know, of course, you would go back and look at it if Florida loses that game about that interception, but they didn't. And for the most part, I still think Felipe Franks played pretty well. Last one here, Bill Rudd. Franks has made strides, but can you imagine when Mullen gets his players, especially quarterbacks? We'll be in the national championship pictures within a couple years. What has been accomplished truly shows what a great coaching staff we have. Need some big recruits to pop this week. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the aftermath is of this. You know, we'll start hearing from recruits and all that good stuff and see how much they enjoyed it. I'm sure a lot of them did. I could see them down there having fun as well in that atmosphere. So how could you not, when you're in that stadium, not be excited about the future of Gators football? So a lot of fun there had in the Swamp. And, of course, a lot of your reactions. Thank you for sending them in there. I could tell you're excited, about as excited as I am. Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of fun, you know. High-fiving strangers, high-fiving fans in the stands. It was a whole lot of fun. As I said, I'm going to bring it up again. And I tweeted it yesterday. Being able to sing is great to be a Florida Gator after a victory like that. Leaving that stadium, that's one of the best memories you can have. That's one of the best memories you can get. Because that's one of the things I will always remember about leaving the Swamp after a big game there. So let's take a look around the SEC and what happened the same week as Florida beating LSU here. Alabama and Arkansas, 65-31 Alabama there. So game was a little close. Arkansas had a chance to bring it within a touchdown. It would have been 21-14. They fumbled on the goal line, and it was kind of all she wrote after that. So not much of a game. And then South Carolina with a big victory, 37-35. Missouri jumped out to a lead there. South Carolina fought back. It was a big storm, big rain delay there as well. That's one of the worst storms I've seen. I mean, I went and looked at the highlights of that game. But, you know, Will Muschamp and them survive. You know, now got their third win of the season there. That would have been their third SEC loss, but they found a way to pull that one out. So, a big win by Will Muschamp and there, beating Missouri. Of course, Florida 27-19 over LSU. Ole Miss beats Louisiana Monroe 70-21. Kentucky gets their first loss in College Station as Texas A&M beats them 20-14, a game that went to overtime. Kentucky missed a field goal, so A&M, all they had to do was score after that, and they scored a touchdown to win that game 20-14 in overtime, giving Kentucky their first loss of the season. Florida's opponent last week, Mississippi State, beats Auburn 23-9. That Auburn offense can't get anything going with that offensive line and Jarrett Stidham right now. Big bounce back win after two straight losses from Mississippi State there. So, good bounce back win by them, and Auburn's got to go figure some things out. Georgia 41-13 over Vanderbilt, Florida's next opponent. That's Florida's next two opponents actually there. So 41-13, Georgia beats Vanderbilt there. So Florida travels to Vanderbilt for a noon kickoff next week. So let's go. And let's take a look at these SEC standings. Georgia leading the way in the East. Overall, 6-0, 4-0 in the conference. Kentucky and Florida tied for second, but Kentucky will hold a tiebreaker there, of course. Both teams 5-1, 3-1 in the conference. South Carolina at 2-2 in conference, 3-2 overall. Next team in line. And then Missouri, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, all 0-2 in the conference, but Missouri 3-2. Tennessee 2-3, where they had a bye week, and then Vanderbilt 3-3 on the season. But Missouri, Tennessee, Vanderbilt all winless right now in the SEC. Let's head over to the West. Alabama, only undefeated team over there. After LSU gets beat, Alabama 6-0, 3-0 in the conference. And then LSU 5-1, 2-1 in the conference. Texas A&M still there, 2-1 in the conference. So they're kind of tied there for second, 4-2 overall. Mississippi State, Auburn at 1-2, and then Arkansas, Ole Miss, winless in the conference so far this year. So, yeah, guys, it's That's going to do it for this episode of Gators Breakdown. Glad you could join me here talking about this big, big, big victory that the Gators got over LSU, 27-19. Have a couple more episodes this week, of course. Well, Miles would join me on the next episode. He'll go look at some film. You can go read his article at readandreaction.com to get his thoughts. But we'll get his reaction here. We'll take a tiny look ahead to Vanderbilt. But mostly, you know, we're going to revel in this big-time victory over LSU. And then later on in the week, we'll have our Vanderbilt preview and, all that good stuff. Looking ahead to the big trip to Nashville, you know, one of the funnest cities there in the country and, of course, in the SEC. So probably have more fun visiting Nashville for actual Nashville than the game, because Gator fans will probably outnumber Vandy fans there. If you've ever been to that game, you know that to be the case there. So, that'll do it for this episode of Gators Breakdown. Guys and girls, thanks for listening to this episode. I'm David Waters. You can catch me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Go Gators!